The Bread and the Cup.
At this time of the year, our thoughts turn to the upper room to sit with the Master and his disciples as they prepared for the Passover. And it's nice for us to consider at this time our Lord and his life, his death, his resurrection, and the things that it means for the world of mankind. There are very few in the world that really know why our Lord came to die, except that they realize they say that he came to save sinners. But what a blessedness is ours to have our minds and our hearts enlightened by the Holy Spirit to really know. And certainly we can say, blessed are our eyes for they see and our ears for they hear. At the time Israel left Egypt, they were commanded, of course, by God to keep the Passover. And it was to commemorate this season of the year that the disciples had met with the Lord at Jerusalem. And Jesus, of course, with the disciples, were preparing for this wonderful feast. And in Matthew, the 26th chapter, the disciples had come to the Master and they said, Lord, where shall we prepare to keep the Passover? And in the 17th verse, we read, now the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful. And they began, every one of them, to say, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. And as they completed the eating of this Passover supper, I like to think that, according to the other account, Judas, Satan entering into him, went out. And it was at that time that as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and break it and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This was something strange to the disciples. They had never seen him do this before. And I'm certain that they asked in their own minds, what does he mean by this? But the Lord was here telling them for the first time that he was this Passover lamb. And that he was about to be slain, although they knew it not. And when the Lord instituted this memorial supper, this was a symbol. It was related to the old Passover type, although it wasn't a part of that, because he said that it was going to be a memorial of this antitype, of this Passover lamb. And so it was in lieu of this old Passover that he said, this do in remembrance of me. Yes, and since the old Passover type was now obsolete, he was proclaiming that it was this bread and it was this cup that they were to use to proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Later, the Apostle Paul saw the privilege of keeping this symbol. And in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, he said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the common union of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Common union. What a favored lot is ours to have this common union as disciples with our Master. Yes, the Diaglot tells us that it was this common participation of the body. We look in the Greek lexicon, we find that this word common union means an act of sharing. Act of sharing. Or a partnership. A fellowship, one with the other. It was a close spiritual relationship. And isn't that what our fellowship in the body is? A close spiritual relationship. A fellowship, one with the other. And this close spiritual relationship for us extends even to the Heavenly Father. John tells us in his first epistle, in the third verse, the first chapter, that we which have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That word fellowship is the same as communion. That ye may have communion with us. And truly our fellowship, our communion, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That our communion as brethren in this body is with the Father, our Heavenly Father, and with His Son. Yes, what a wonderful meaning this has for us, this divinely instituted celebration of the memorial of His death. And as we partake of these symbols, we recall how blessed is our communion with the fellow members of the body. This heart realization that we have, knowing that It is a covenant of sacrifice together. Our sacrifice is one with our heaven, with our Lord and Savior. The real communion that we have is that of feeding upon the merit of our Lord's sacrifice and growing stronger day by day. Fellowship, a partnership that only those in the body can know. This fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with our brethren. How humble this should make us feel to realize that this is not of any divine necessity, but it's by divine grace, by His favor, that we are able to be ever called to participate in this wonderful body. Does not this text in Matthew, where He says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it, and said, this is My body. Does this not remind us of the words of John in the 6th chapter, where He says, I am the bread of life? Yes, and if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. In this lesson, that night in the upper room, Jesus also referred to Himself as the Lamb of God. They had just eaten of the Lamb. And now He's saying, this is the Lamb slain for you. Yes, remember what John the Baptist said 3.5 years before. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus knew that He was this Lamb. Now He was preparing to die. Symbolically, He had died 3.5 years prior to this, when He came to John at Jordan, and there He laid Himself down in consecration, in baptism, into the water, picturing the death of the human will. And at that time, as He died as a man, as Paul tells us in Romans 6, He was raised to walk in newness of life. And now His actions were that He was preparing actually to give that which, if any man would partake thereof, he would live forever. This feast that the Lord and His disciples had originally come to celebrate there at Jerusalem was that of the Passover night, of the Passover in Egypt. We'll not go into the details, except to say that it was because Israel was under bondage to Pharaoh, picturing Satan and all of his hosts, being under the condemnation of death, so to speak, that here were the people of God. The world of mankind is pictured this night under the dominion of Satan and sin and death. But before God could deliver any, the Lamb had to be slain. And the blood had to be sprinkled upon the doorposts and on the lintels of the house. And none of them, of course, were to go out of the house that night. And all were to eat this lamb roast with fire. But there was a certain class in that house that was delivered that night time by the blood, in recall. recall it was the firstborn. Yes, all in the house ate of the lamb, but it was the firstborn who were delivered. A few days prior to the Passover, Jesus said to his disciples in the 6th chapter of John, 47th verse, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, and I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. But this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Yes, his flesh he gave for the life of the world. And in the 57th verse, he continues by saying, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. For this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. For he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Remember that Passover night. All in the house ate of this Lamb of God, that which was slain for them. And as Jesus said, "His flesh I would give for the life of the world," then they would have life. As the Diglot tells us in the 58th verse, "He that eateth of this bread shall live to the age." Yes, they shall live into the age. What age is that? They are guaranteed an opportunity to come back from the tomb and live into the age. Is this not what the Lamb of God has done for all mankind? "My flesh I give for the life of the world." Yes, this word is aeon, and it means to the age. For the firstborn, however, in the house, they must not only eat of this Lamb of God, but they are also under the blood. This was not required for the household in general. And if the blood was not sprinkled for these firstborn, they would have died. And thus Jesus said in this same lesson, in the 53rd verse, "Then Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What type of life is this? This eternal life that he who eats the flesh and drinks the blood will have. It's not the same kind of life that the world will have as they live into the age, aeonian life. Look up this word, eternal life, and the word is aeon. It's a different word, aeonian. You know what Strong tells us that the word aeonian means, it means perpetual. And isn't that an interesting thought? He who eats the flesh and drinks the blood will have immortal life. And isn't that what the firstborn will receive if we're found faithful in following out the commandments of our Lord, laying down our lives even unto death, eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Yes, by eating this, we're liberated ahead of the world of mankind. We're delivered from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. They have received justification. Thus we see in this picture, the Lamb pictures the great redemptive sacrifice of our Lord for all mankind. For all mankind will eat of this Lamb. He who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And as all in the house that night ate of that Lamb, they were all delivered in the morning. Someone might ask the question, how then do we explain the text in 1 Corinthians 10:17, where he says, we being many are one bread, and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Does this mean that we share with our Lord in this great sacrificial work of the ransom? No, not whatsoever. This lesson that Paul is giving in 1 Corinthians is not one of the memorial. It's proper that we use it because it shows our communion in the body. But Paul is really saying, he's making a comparison between the meat which was offered to idols. And then he says, we don't do that. But our communion is in the body. For we being many are one bread. We're all one loaf. We're all partakers, brethren, in that one body. Common union, common participation. And so, Paul was perhaps referring even to the time of his conversion. Remember when he was converted, he heard this great voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was it that Paul was persecuting? It was the brethren. It was those whom the Lord had selected to be his disciples. And so it shows our participation in this body of Christ. For as Paul says, the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, so also is Christ. So also is this anointed body. We all come in under this one anointing. And so the thought that Paul was giving us in 1 Corinthians 10:17 was a parenthetical thought, showing the oneness of the body. And having partaken of our Passover lamb, accepting him as our Redeemer, what a close spiritual relationship is ours, this partnership, one with the other. And how we rejoice with Paul and with them, that we have come out from under condemnation of death during this nighttime of sin and death. Why? Because the blood has been sprinkled for us. And this is that in which we have in common, that we are all participating members in this body. And how glad we are that to know that the world will partake of the benefits of this Lamb in due time in the kingdom. When they partake of the benefits of that Lamb that was slain for them so many years ago. And in addition to the eating of the Lamb, we now come to the second emblem that was used by the Lord that memorial night. And so often, for a long time, I thought, well, the cup pictures the same thing. But then we ask ourselves, why did the Lord use two symbols if they picture the same thing? But Jesus said, as he took the cup, he gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Yes, that which ratifies the new covenant. Remember, Jesus said, my flesh I give for the life of the world. But he says, this cup I pour for the remission of sin. And turning again to 1 Corinthians 10:16, Paul says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, the common union, the participation of the blood of Christ? And is this not what the Master said, drink ye all of it? What is the purpose of the cup? Well, the Master answered, he said it's for the remission of sin. And what an honor, what a privilege that we have of drinking that cup. What is the cup? Again, we turn to the Greek lexicon. I like the thought that's given there, which says that this is the thing to be endured or experienced. And to be the Lamb of God, this great ransom sacrifice for the world of mankind, including us, Jesus did not have to partake of this cup, for all will agree that suffering was not a part of his ransom sacrifice. No, all the justice required as a ransom was a life for a life, a corresponding price for Father Adam. Yes, his flesh is what he gave for the life of the world. And now he says, this is the cup of the New Testament, like the diglot, which says, which is shed on your behalf. Jesus had been drinking this cup for 3.5 years on behalf of his disciples. Oh, not in order to ransom them, but to reconcile us to God, that our sacrifice could be acceptable to the great judge of all. And because he entered in for us, appearing in the presence of God for us with the blood of that sacrifice, we are now acceptable sacrifices unto God, a holy sacrifice which is our reasonable service. And it is a sacrifice made up of many members, all those who are participating in the body. Yes, the Apostle John, speaking to those who were brethren, those who had given themselves in consecration, not talking to the world, tells us in 1 John, the first chapter and the 7th verse, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. Fellowship with whom? With our brethren. If we walk in the light. And what happened? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, it was our sins for whom that cup was poured. And as he was our sin offering, which was for the remission of our sins, so we also share with him in this great sin offering. A beautiful picture that we have for us back in the tabernacle type. The bullock being offered for us, the goat, blood being sprinkled for the world. And thus, full atonement is made. And after the atonement day sacrifices are completed, the high priest, dressed in robes of glory and beauty, came out and he blessed the people. And when the people shall be blessed, after the high priest is completed, when will that be? It will be in the morning. And the people, the world of mankind, will be delivered. Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 15th, 5th chapter, 17th verse, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us by blood. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This ministry of reconciliation is what? It's the method by which the world will be brought back into harmony with God. Why? How do we know this? Paul goes on to tell us, for he hath made him to be a sin offering for us. He who knew no sin, why? That we might be reconciled, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yes? a sin offering for us. And so therefore, the Master said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you, according to Luke's account, for our justification. And Jesus said, this is my blood, and this is your blood. Drink ye all of it. It's shed for the remission of the sins of mankind. All those sins of Adamic weakness. And in that the body members share in this sin offering, the blood of the new covenant, we see how that the new covenant cannot be in operation until the sacrificing is all complete. And therefore, when the last member has passed beyond, when the last member has finished his course in death, has shared with him in drinking this cup, then we can enter in to that which is beyond the veil. But we must do as he outlined. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. This manner of dying, of cross-bearing, is the same as drinking the cup. And thus in drinking this cup, we see that the manner in which he endured for 3.5 years, laying down his life, was this great sin offering in which we are also permitted to share. And as members in the body of Christ, sharing with him in that great sin offering, filling up that which remains of the affliction of Christ. And as we fill up that which is remained, here again, I'd like to think of this drinking of this cup which was shed for the remission of our sin. But rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So may we ever be mindful of the honor and the responsibility that we now have of eating this bread from heaven, which if any man shall eat thereof, he shall never die. But may we also drink of that cup and share with him the privilege of laying down our lives day by day. The Lord bless you.